Welcome back to Beyond the Booth. I'm your host, Cameron Capers. And as always, you can follow Beyond the Booth on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can also find Beyond the Sound on Twitter and Instagram at BYDTHESOUND. Today, my guest is Jordan Durkee. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So I'm glad we can do this because I was thinking about, like, when I was getting ready for this interview, we've known each other for a really long time. I never really thought about it until the other day. So we initially met, I think 2015 or so, like at a house show or something like that. Yeah. And I was just wondering, so like at that point, was that your first time getting in photography or was it before that?
I think that might've been it. I started when I was in high school. So yeah, probably like 2015 or so.
Okay, cool. And so like when you first got into it, what like initially inspired you to pursue photography?
It's kind of goofy, but I literally just wanted like cool pictures to post on like Tumblr. Like I literally was just, like, I just want cool pictures of my friends to post on Tumblr. And now I'm here. So
yeah, no, it's crazy. And something so cool about being in Kansas City, and like I started Beyond the Sound around the same time, honestly, probably as you started photography. Mm-hmm. It's been so cool just watching people grow over the years, and like where you're at right now, you know, versus when we first met, it's so crazy. And the same for me.
Yeah.
It's so cool to see people just grow and really flourish in what they're doing. And so there's obviously like a huge connection between like music and visual art, obviously. So can you talk about like one of your first experiences shooting a show like at a music venue, how that went for you?
Yeah, absolutely. The first show I ever shot was the Griswolds at the Madrid Theater. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. I had like really high expectations, I think, of what shooting shows was. And like granted, like most shows are like a little bit more prepared than this, but I showed up and there was like no photo pit, and I had to like shoot from the crowd, and I was like far in the back, and I was like, man, this sucks. Like, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And I was so disappointed. But I just like kept going, and it was great. Actually, I really ended up liking the photos a lot, and I was really scared that I was going to hate them. But like, as I was doing it, I think I realized that I was like just having fun just doing it. And I like, wasn't too like stressed about the results. And that was kind of like my mindset about shooting shows for like years after that. Like, I was like, this will just be like a fun thing to do. And yeah.
Right. No, that makes sense. I think kind of creatives in general, we're really hard on ourselves a lot of the time. And like, we're always like, critical and like thinking about everything we do. Yeah. I think as I've gotten older, I've learned to kind of just calm down and like just do things for me and not trying to do what other people want me to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think especially that like high school, like early teens, you know, you're so caught up in like, oh, what people think about me, like this.
Yeah. That, you know? Yeah. It's like, it doesn't matter.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, I think it takes some time to kind of grow up and to kind of realize like, it's okay to just do things for yourself and do what you want to do. That's really cool. And so I was thinking about like, obviously I'm not a photographer, but I have a lot of friends that are, and like doing photo shoots, like one or two people versus like a live show, obviously I'm sure is really different for you. So I just wanted to know, like, how has it been, like, how is shooting shows in live venues a kind of challenge you as a photographer, like in different ways?
Oh yeah, 100%. So I think like, I mean, I think going from like being a portrait photographer to like a show photographer is like completely different. Like, I guess I have the benefit of doing it the other way around, because when you're shooting shows, it's like, there's a lot of fast movement and like different lighting conditions. And like, if you're used to shooting like portraits or like weddings or like really any kind of work like that, like shows could be like really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine if I had to do it the other way around, like if I started with like portraits and stuff, I would probably not be doing shows. Like I probably would get too stressed out about it, but shows are like really complicated, but they're really cool once you get the hang of it. And it really like challenges you like as a photographer, I feel.
Definitely. Yeah. And that's something I thought of, just like working in music venues, like it's such a fast paced environment. Like things happen so fast. So it's like, you had to kind of be on your toes at all times, be ready.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I think that kind of makes you better just at your job, whatever you're doing in general. Cause it's like, you don't ever could just go and have like an easy day, quote unquote. Cause every day.
Yeah. There is no telling the model to like turn their head a certain way. Like you got to move.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. And that's definitely helped me too, just grow. Just what I'm doing. It's like, it helps you just kind of stay on your feet and kind of be ready for anything. I think it was really cool. So outside of photography, you work for 1824. Which is part of Universal, which is really cool. So can you just talk about how that kind of started and what that is and how it's kind of helped you grow as a creative in general too?
Yeah, 100%. So actually, you know what? We have these bi-weekly like all staff calls, and at the end of them, there's this weird, it's not really like a chant necessarily, but it's like something that they make us say. Because when I first started working for 1824, it was a U Music experience, which was like essentially called Universal Music Group's like college team, but we've rebranded now to 1824 and it's like its own separate kind of thing.
Right.
Specifically, 1824 is Universal Music Group's creative solution team focused on the connection of artists and brands directly to fans through storytelling and experiences. Essentially.
So fancy.
So fancy. Yeah. Yeah. It's basically the content team for Universal. So they make music videos and they like set up like artist interviews with like a lot of press outlets and at like colleges where like if artists come to talk about like, I don't know, safe sex, like that's like stuff that 1824 does.
Right.
And it's really great. I started working there. My friend Dylan started working there in Boston and they had an opening in Kansas City. And so he recommended me for the job and I started. And originally I thought I was going to be doing like photography or like video stuff. And you know, I got hired and they were like, basically girly pop, like you're going to be doing like marketing kind of stuff. And at first I was like so upset because I was like, no, I want to be a photographer. But like learning all of like the marketing behind everything and like learning about the actual like, I don't know, the ins and outs of the music industry has been like super like beneficial. And I got to learn about like design stuff. Like I do social media stuff now, which I find like really interesting. It's also great because of the pandemic. Like I wouldn't have had a job if I wouldn't have started learning for like 1824, you know?
No, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really great. I really love it there.
Yeah, you made a good point about like being afraid to do it at first, but like it actually helps you in the long run.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the same thing for me because when I first started working in venues, like I just wanted to like, immediately, it's like, oh, I want to start booking shows, like do this and that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was so like, ahead of myself.
Sure. Right.
Exactly. And it's like once I started working, like, oh, there's so much more I don't actually even know about, just like the basics of running a venue, you know?
100%.
And so, yeah, it really humbled me and like it made me like calm down and like, okay, just like learn the basics and then move your way up. Don't try to like step ahead of yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so like since then, like I've learned so much about like box office, like selling merch, like all this different stuff I didn't even think about. Like, oh, I don't care about any of that. You know, I just wanted to do like
no, but it's so important.
The big stuff.
I mean, if you were like higher up and you didn't know anything about what it's like down below, you know what I mean? Like you could be an asshole then.
Like, right. You don't know anything that's going on either. Yet.
Yeah. So yeah.
Like, yeah, over the past few years I've just learned so much. I didn't even like know that I needed to learn, if that makes sense. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's like sometimes like the jobs you don't want to take end up being the best for you because it helps you like open your mind to new things. So yeah, that's a really good point. Something I want to talk about is it's something we've talked about like off camera or whatever, just as friends personally. Like mental health is really important to both of us. And that's something I have been trying to like educate myself more about over the years. Now that like more I'm like out of high school, you know, like in my 20s and all that, and just trying to learn more about life in general. And I think specifically in the Black community, we need to have more conversations about it. It's always gotten better over the years, you know, but there's still stigma behind it. So I just want to talk about, for you personally, like how has it been like being able to maintain and take care of your mental health like throughout the pandemic, and also just working in music? It can be really hard for us, especially being Black and predominantly white spaces, you know. So how have you kind of like taking that balance and kind of like taking care of yourself throughout all of this?
Yeah. When the pandemic first started, I was on an antidepressant. So I think like the severity of it didn't really hit me until like a couple months in when I stopped taking it. And you know, that really sucked because, you know, you're like, God, I'm like in a pandemic and I have depression / anxiety and I now can't like go to an actual therapist or do what I need to do. And also, yeah, being Black is, dealing with mental health stuff when you're Black is weird, and it's like I can't even explain why it's weird.
Right. Yeah. And it's like it's kind of the intersection of being Black but also just being a human and dealing with stuff in general.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Black, it's like its own separate like trauma, so it's like
it's because society has this weird idea that like being Black like should like, I don't know, like I think there's this weird level of like strength that's supposed to come with being a Black person. Like, I can still get depressed. Like
exactly.
Like, I feel like I could get more depressed than a white person.
Like, exactly.
Not competition. Like
right.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really difficult for a while, but I guess just like getting out there and moving my body every day. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been asking different people about it. I think it's interesting just to talk about because people have different ways of like dealing with it. Obviously healthy, I'm about to say you should be doing whatever you want to. That's not, you know, helping you obviously. 100%. But yeah, it's just interesting just dealing with it and trying to navigate
Sure. I think therapy is a really good resource. Like, there's this website or organization, I can't actually remember, I think it's probably both, called Therapy for Black Girls. Like, that's been super helpful. Like, specifically trying to find a Black therapist is really good. Like, if you use, like, Psychology Today, and you can, like, actually, like, put on a filter that you want your therapist to be Black. Like, that's super helpful.
Yeah, it's still scarce, though, honestly. I tried myself, and it was, like, two or three in the entire state.
It's stressful.
And that's something I'm very like adamant about, is like when I think about people who have like millions of dollars, I'm like, why aren't you helping people that like need that? And like, you can easily pay for like 1,000 people to go to therapy and still be rich.
Dude, like, and like everybody needs to go to therapy,
so right, despite race and all of that other stuff.
Literally
Right. Yeah, that's so interesting for me. Like, I grew up in a Black Christian household, so there's obviously a lot of stigma, because I think for a lot of people, they can't like separate like mental health from like religion, and they think they have to choose one of the over, and it's like you can have both, and like they can both coexist, you know.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of us still have to deal with that.
You can't be depressed if you have God.
Exactly. Oh my God.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's like,
you're like, I can't.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think a lot of them, they think they like are abandoning the religion, you know, if they choose one. Like, it's not that, you can have both, and like they can both be helpful to your mental health.
Absolutely.
But I think it's just like our parents, especially their generation, you know, it's like it was way more stigmatized than it is now. So I get that too. But it's like, I think having the conversations is the most important part. Even if you don't agree with the other person, you know, just talking about it is really important. So
yeah,
that's something I really want to do moving forward too, especially in the music industry. It's like there's not a lot of mental health services really offered to musicians and like photographers and venue workers. So yeah, that's something I really would love to do in the future, is be able to help on a larger scale, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so I think that's really interesting to talk about. That's why I'm so grateful to have friends like you that like, are open to talk about it and don't think it's like, oh, everything's fine all the time. It's like, no.
Yeah,
like,
hell no.
Yeah, it's a part of who we are, you know, part of living life. So I think that's really important. And so, yeah, like I said, this pandemic, it's like, it's getting better, obviously, with like the vaccine. But there's still a lot of work to be done. I just wanted to know, like, moving forward for the rest of the year, do you have anything specifically you want to get done, or are you just kind of going with the flow for now?
Oh, I think I'm just trying to survive, honestly. Like, I mean, part of me is like, okay, we're in a pandemic. Like, this is the time to like, you know, get your act together and do all the shit that you haven't done before. But at the same time, it's like, we're in a pandemic. This is time to simply survive.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Oh my God. Yes, I do. Yeah. That's something.
I want to get through the year without like killing myself, I guess.
Oh my God. No, I get that. And it's like, that's something I've been really grappling with this past year. It's like, I've put so much like worth in like, I have to be constantly putting out content, like doing this with the blog and doing that.
It's like
I'm trying to like rip that bandaid off. It's okay for it to me to exist and just be camera without posting every day or doing this or doing that. And I think that really is a symptom of like, I don't know, just social media and just, you know, the world we live in, where it's like you have to constantly be releasing content. It's really unhealthy.
It's really bad. Especially like there's nothing to do. So it's like nothing to post about. Like
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's something I've been trying to deal with. So I just wanted to ask, like, music wise, you're obviously a big music fan. So who have you been listening to recently?
Good question. I've been listening to a lot of Remy Wolf. I like her music a lot. Who else? I'm listening to a lot of King Princess.
Oh, nice.
Jelani is good.
Okay. I think King Princess was supposed to play the Truman. I don't know if she did or not. Was that before?
That was literally like right before. Like,
okay, yeah, I knew it was like
Valentine's Day, and then like shit was
right. Like, yeah, I knew it was. Yeah, it was like right around that time. But I can't remember. Yeah, this past year has been like a blur. I don't even know what's going on anymore.
No, literally, I'm like, it's March again.
Right. Exactly. Okay. No, it's crazy. And just before we get out of here, I just wanted to ask, where can people find you on social media, and like whatever you want to plug, like stuff you have going on or stuff you want to talk about? This is your time to before we get out of here.
Okay, cool. I mean, my Instagram is at Jordan Durkee. If you want to follow me on Instagram, probably won't be posting anything.
Right. Pandemic, right?
Pandemic. I mean, that's it. I guess nothing really.
Right, yeah, same. I'll make sure to I'll like make a link for your Twitter and Instagram too, so everyone can follow you.
Awesome.
But yeah, this is a great conversation. We definitely need to catch up once stuff is, you know, more open and there's stuff going on. I just wanted to talk to you because like I said, I've been a huge fan of your work, obviously. I mean, your friend, I'm about to say now, you know, oh, we're friends, whatever. But I think what you're doing is so important, and like it's so cool to like see people like me doing the same thing and like having a passion and like really thriving too. So yeah, I have so much respect for you.
Oh
yeah,
I'm God, so glad.
Yeah.
You, that's so sweet, Cameron.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm so glad we're friends. And you're going to school again, right, here soon?
Yeah, yeah. I got into Columbia College Chicago, but I'm not sure if I will be moving there because I am too scared of the pandemic. But
yeah, right, oh God. Yeah, well, either way, that's still really cool. Yeah, like I said, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so excited for your future.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, and thank you for talking to me. We definitely have to do this again, like I said, when everything is not The Walking Dead. So,
yeah,
right. Well, I appreciate the time, Jordan. Like I said, I'll make sure to plug everything that you're doing and your social media and all that stuff. But thank you so much for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You have a good day. Okay.
You too.
All right. Bye.